The Lord makes mention of many different individuals worthy of our emulating. For example, the Bible talks about Joseph, who is a man that the Scripture records no sin about. There is no sin that we could even suggest that Joseph committed according to Scripture. Now, the reality is he did sin. All people sin. There's nothing recorded in the Word of God. He was a man worthy of emulating. Also, Daniel. Young Daniel, who left his home, was stripped of all of his privileges and blessings and placed into a foreign territory. He was there exalted to be a learned man. He had to learn a new language, a new tongue, new food, new culture, stripped of his parental care, and yet he was faithful. Faithful to God, even though he was outside the comforts of a Christian society, yet he lived for God, unabated in his faithfulness and trust in Jehovah. What about Epaphroditus, who we looked at on Wednesday past? Again, another remarkable man of God. Well, Caleb is one of those men. Look with me at Joshua 14 and the verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me. Here's Caleb, man of God. And when all the tribes are coming to Joshua, they have now inherited the promised land. Caleb comes up and he says, Joshua, remember the promise that God made to me. Give it to me. Let me enter in to my promised territory. Caleb was a man of God, a faithful man of God. And we read that in verse 14 here. At the end of verse 14, it says, because that he, Caleb, wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's the Lord's statement describing how Caleb walked. Caleb was mentioned 30 times, actually more than 30 times in the Word of God. He lived around 1500 BC, considerable length of time before Christ arrived. He was a leader in the tribe of Judah. Each tribe had different princes, different leaders. Well, he was one of the leaders over a number of people in Judah. At the age of 40, he was one of the men assigned the task of going into the promised land and spying it out. There were 12 spies, one for each of the 12 tribes represented. And he, that's Caleb, along with Joshua, the man who wrote this book, they were the two who come back with an encouraging report, encouraging the people to go in and to inherit the land, to be faithful unto the Lord. Unfortunately, the other spies were not as enthusiastic. In fact, they greatly troubled and hindered the people of God from entering into the promise. Will you turn back with me for a moment or two to Numbers 13? We read of the event when Caleb, along with Joshua, went with the other 10 spies, 12 in total, into the promised land. And there's a wee key in the word promised land. All right, it was promised to them. Anyway, Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So 12 rulers from these 12 tribes. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, if you jump down to verse 6, here you have the list of the spies. Just two are of particular interest to us. Verse 6, of the tribe of Judah, their leader, their head, their ruler, their spy was none other than Caleb of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Verse 8, of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, who is Joshua, the son of Nun. If you go down here, just out of interest, in verse 16, it says here, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So, just explain that. You have Caleb, and you have Hoshea, or Joshua. These two men, with the other 10, you know the story, they went to spy out the land of Canaan. God had brought the people out of Egypt. He had promised them a dwelling place in Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord promised to them that they would inherit it. Indeed, before they ever left Egypt, God said, I'm giving you, your name's on it. Your name's on it. I'm giving you a promised land in Canaan. Now, of course, Moses chose these 12 men to go and spy out the land. They have walked some months. They are now traveled to the borders of the land of Canaan, and the 12 men were sent. Why? There's three different angles this comes from in different portions of the Bible. The people themselves said to Moses, Moses, send spies. Send men to go and check out the land. Moses clearly consented to that because, obviously, praying about it, the Lord verified that that was the right thing to do. Because Numbers 13 states, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan. So here you have the people wanted it. Moses, their leader, was happy with it. He was a military strategist. He knew how war worked. He's an intelligent man. And also the Lord said, yes, this is the thing to do. Go and send these spies. Now, men and women, these spies, their remit was not to go and check out whether they could take the land. Their remit was simply to go and spy it out and bring back intel, bring back intelligence. That's all they were supposed to do. Just bring back information so that we can be well equipped to go into the land and take it. Now, of course, these men were sent. If you look with me, a couple of verses here. Let me see. Yeah, well, chapter 13, verse 2. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler. So they're going to go out here and search the land of Canaan. That was their purpose. Okay? Go with me to verse 18. And see the land, what it is. So to check out what the land's like. Is it good? Good land for crops? Is it hilly land? What kind of land are we inheriting here? Verse 18 goes on to say, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. See the strength of the people. So they're meant to see what the land was like. They're meant to bring back a report. What kind of people are they? What are we working with? What way should we train our soldiers to approach them? Then go to verse 19. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. So again, see what their defenses are like. This is just an intelligence run. And bring back a report. Furthermore, they were to bring back fruit. Look at verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now, the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And so, these men dutifully did their task. They went and checked out the land. They checked out the cities. They checked out the people, and they did indeed bring back fruit. God commanded that this is what they should do with the remit of simply giving intelligence.
The problem was 10 of these men come back and completely disheartened the people of God from inheriting the land. Their own people, their own spies, their own servants, as it were, who were supposed to be encouraging. And I have no doubt that when Moses saw the fruit coming, or not Moses, Joshua, when he saw the fruit coming, they would have been encouraged to have seen the produce that is contained in the land. Let's go and inherit the land. So actually, at this point, it was Moses who was leading him at this point. And he was there for the first approach to the promised land, obviously. So he would have been thrilled, undoubtedly, to have seen the good produce. Unfortunately, the people were discouraged. Joshua and Caleb, they brought back an encouraging report because they had confidence in God. And that's really what I want you to see tonight. You see, Caleb observed the same thing that the other spies observed. But the other spies, all they could see was the problem. The only thing Caleb could see was his great God. And I want you to think in this tonight. Because here you are in the house of God. And perhaps you're not saved yet. And all you can see is your sin and your inability to keep salvation. You don't want to call upon the Lord tonight. You don't want to make any confession of faith in case you can't keep it. All you're doing is focusing on the problem. I'm telling you tonight, you get your eyes on the great God who is able to keep you and to give you victory. Let's observe then this man, Caleb. Go back with me to our text in Joshua 14. Of course, on that occasion when they first entered into the area of the promised land, Caleb brought back the good report. He had wholly and absolutely followed the Lord, and doubt about that. And here he is now 40 years later in Joshua 14. He's a man of 85 years of age. Spying out the land of Canaan happened 4 decades ago. And yet he makes this great statement, I am as strong today as I was when I was 40 years of age. You see, the Lord was good to Caleb. The Lord preserved his strength. The Lord preserved his ability. The Lord was pleased to prosper this man because of his faithfulness in following the Lord. So what you have in Joshua 14 is Caleb reminiscing. He's reminiscing not just over the good old days, but he's reminiscing as to the faithfulness of his God. You see, Caleb here looks back. He doesn't look back with regret. He's not standing here before Joshua and the company and saying to them, oh, I wish I had done something else. I wish I would have followed the crowd. No, he's glad. He is celebrating. He is bolder now than he's ever been before, that doing the right thing was the right thing to do. He did not have regrets. You see, Caleb had his eye on God and he spoke the truth. And he had confidence in God at the age of 40. He looks back with no regret. I want you to be the same. Maybe there's been times in your life where the Lord's convicted you of sin. And you messed around. You thought about getting saved. It occurred to you, but you didn't do it. You didn't sit down and have the courage to get right with God. And you wouldn't cast your all on him. You backed off. You were like the people of Israel. The promise was there. You're scared. All you could see was your weakness. All you could see was the problems. All you could see were the little toys and trinkets you didn't want to give up. Here you are, maybe decades later. And you wish you would have got right with the Lord then. You never had, perhaps, the grace to do so sin. Well, look at Caleb here, because He had no regrets in placing his confidence and in wholeheartedly following the Lord. If you haven't, you can begin following the Lord tonight and trust in him. So here's a man with hindsight. Looking back, he can testify God was good. Now, as I said, Caleb went to spy out the land with the other 11 spies. And he saw the same thing everybody else did. All right? But for Caleb, this presented an opportunity for him. Going to spy out the land with these 10 other men, Joshua, of course, with them, but these 10 other unfaithful men, this presented Caleb with a great opportunity to stand out of the crowd. Instead of just going with the flow, but he would demonstrate his conviction and his confidence in God. And that believer is where I want you to be. An unbeliever, I want you to be there as well. Yes, the world might be going after its toys and trinkets. And it might be easy to go with all the flow in the media, online, promoting all the sinful ways in this culture, which is very much anti-God. And it might be easy for you to just keep your head down and just go with the crowd. But that's not what God wants. The Lord wants Caleb's. To stand out, who see the same things, but have confidence in God, to stand for what's true and right, and to live for the promises of God. That's what Caleb's doing. He was living for the promises of God. Caleb's not, you know, chancing his arm here. He knew God had promised them the land of Israel. He was simply going on the basis of the promise that God gave. Well, here you have Caleb. He's proving now that having faith in God's promises and following the Lord and standing against the crowd if need be, well, when you do so, you're honoring God and God honors you. Because here was Caleb 40 years later now, and he's saying, Lord, actually 45 years later, and he's saying, you know, Lord, you gave me a promise, let me receive it. And he did. He received a massive chunk of inheritance, and Caleb became a mighty man in Israel. As I said, Caleb saw the same locations, he saw the same problems as the other spies. The other spies saw the giants, the sons of the Anakims, that's the names of the people that lived there, and they saw them for their might, their broad shoulders, their mighty hands and thick thighs, their backs like an elephant, men who were exceptional in their physique. And they saw the enemy, and they feared their enemy's strength. Caleb saw the enemy, but he had confidence in his God's strength. That's the difference. It's where is your focus? You see, the spies who feared, they saw the giants and feared them. Caleb saw them, but he was confident in God. See, Caleb wasn't observing himself. Caleb's strength was not his own ability. Those other 10 spies, they felt their weakness. They felt their inability. They felt that they could not contend in battle, and therefore they were not willing to go forward. But Caleb wasn't looking at himself. He was looking at the Lord. And child of God, I would encourage you to do the same. We live a day of great difficulty and great problems, and we look at ourselves and say, we are not competent. We are not capable of the task that lies before us. That's not the point. Yes, you are weak. You'll always be weak. But we look to the Lord. And Caleb said that he wholly followed the Lord, and that was it. Didn't matter how big the enemy was. It's completely irrelevant. Didn't matter how well fenced and how well barricaded the cities were. It bears no relevance. The fact of the matter is, God said, I promise to give you the land. So the 10 spies, they saw giants and they ran away. Caleb saw the giants, but he was more concentrating on his colossus of a God. Yes, the Anakims were big, but Caleb's colossal God was bigger still. Reminds me of the battle of David and Goliath. It's the exact same scenario. And it's the same family line.
The whole tribe of Israel, they were running away when Goliath made his great call. Only one boy, teenager, stood up. And although everyone else was so focused on the strength of the giant, including King Saul and David's brothers, David's focus was on his colossus of a God. And he went to Goliath with those very words, "My God!" You see, the wee boy David, he just had confidence that his God would fight on his behalf. Goliath went in boasting, "I'll feed you to the dogs this day," or whatever the word was that he used. "I'll do this, David. I'll do that, David." David went to Goliath, saying, "My God, deal with you." That's exactly, of course, what happens, but perspective here. Again tonight, you may be looking your own life, child of God. There may be obstacles, there may be problems. You cannot find a way out, and you're discouraged tonight because you're looking at yourself and you cannot see the answer in your own brain, in your own intellect, in your own ability. How you look to the Lord, He can undertake. For the unsaved, the exact same thing. You may fear getting saved. There are many things that stop you trusting in Christ. Not only your fear that you can't keep it, but it's your fear. You might not even be able to specify what it is that stops you coming to Christ, but you get so far and you just stop because you're feeling. Look to the Lord. Caleb was not of such a mind. Would you go with me here to verse 9? Joshua 14, verse 9. "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Again, that's the exact same phrase which we read a moment ago, later in the same chapter. The Lord repeats it twice. "Thou hast wholly followed the Lord." In this case, he says, "My God." Are you wholeheartedly following the Lord tonight? What does that mean? To wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Well, that's what faith is. Faith is not stepping out into the dark. Faith is not saying, "Well, I'm going to take a risk in this and hopefully the Lord will step in." That's not faith. That's taking a chance. Faith and chance are two completely different things. Faith is when you have a fact, you have a truth, you have a reality, and you base everything on that. For the Christian, we have this great premise that God saves. He is able and He is willing. That's all we need. And we're trusting ourselves into the hands of a mighty God who is able to save. And I want to ask you tonight, have you faith in the Lord? Do you? Do you tonight? When you stand before God on the judgment day, will you be able to say, "Lord, you died for me. That's all I need"? Do you have that wholehearted following the Lord? You see, like I said earlier, Caleb was not bloodthirsty. Caleb was not super courageous and he was going to step out. Caleb was following the Lord. The Lord was going before him. Get that language. "But I wholly followed the Lord." The Lord was going into the promised land. The Lord was going into Canaan. And Caleb could see that. And he wanted to go where the Lord was. Of course, the people didn't see that. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But likewise, for the believer, for the unbeliever tonight, where is Christ? Where is Jesus Christ tonight? He was born in the womb. He was conceived in the womb. He was born in this world the same way you are. He had to sleep because the Bible records that he was tired and he slept. He had to eat. He had to drink. He was a human being the same way you are. But he is now in heaven. He has ascended. He has conquered death. We're not going out on a limb here. We're simply following Jesus. He's done it already.
And Caleb was doing the same thing. He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Not half-heartedly. Wholeheartedly. Now, if you go to verse 14 here. Again, that same phrase, verse 14. At the end of verse 14, it says, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's the full title. The full Old Testament title for our God. You have the name Lord there, Jehovah. You have God of Israel. It's for Israel. He's for his people. He's the king. He's the master. He's the Adonai. He's the head. He's the Eli. He is the one who's over his church, over his people. And the king was first into battle, and the people all follow him. That's what's happening here. Tonight, are you following the Lord? Can you put your head on your pillow tonight, knowing that you're simply following the track that the Savior has left? Truth being told, the Savior's the one carrying you. Are you saved tonight? Are you like Caleb? Or maybe you're more like others in the Bible who talked about religion, walked with the people of God, walked with the people of Israel, but did not lay hold upon the promises. They knew there were promises. The whole tribe of Israel knew that God said before they left Egypt and after they left Egypt that I will give you the land and I will fight for you. I want to take you to that verse actually just for a moment here. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Chapter 6, isn't it? Yeah, Exodus 6. And the verse 8. And the Lord said to the people here, and I will bring you in onto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And so the Lord was making it abundantly clear here that I've given you this land. I've promised you this land. That's before they left Egypt. Then go to chapter 23 of Exodus and the verse 23. Exodus 23 and verse 23. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. Now let me see, is that the right verse? I thought it was, that's written down. Exodus 23, verse 23. Yes, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. I will cut them off. And there you see the cross. That's Calvary. The Lord says, listen, yes, there's an enemy and there's a hell. There are demons and there is sin. But the Lord says, I'll deal with them. And when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he bruised the serpent's head. He did all of the work. And it's upon these promises that God made to Israel, that's what gave Caleb the confidence to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Because the Lord had said, I will cut them off. I will deal with the devil. I will deal with your sin. I will overcome your weakness. I will open the doors of heaven. I will conquer death. The Lord says, I will. You do nothing. Caleb said, well, then I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. Tonight, you may sit in the house of God. And you may go out again. And you may make the same excuses you always make. I'll think about it. Consider it some other time. I'm not ready yet. Read. Now's not the time. By saying that, you're mocking God. He's offering you. He is able. But you refuse. You do not deserve another opportunity. It's a solemn thing, men and women. I trust tonight that Caleb, in conclusion, you will be a faithful man, a faithful woman. That you will wholeheartedly follow the Lord. That you will put your confidence in Him to fight on your behalf and deliver you. And bring you into the promised land. And do not be afraid. And do not be prepared to wander another 20, 30, 40 years until you die and end up perishing. Tonight, enter into the promise and enjoy the land and the work which God has for you. Tonight you can be saved. Just wholly follow. Let's take our hymn books, please.